I'm going to talk fast, you listen fast. It's already going on 11:30. I'll try not to be past 1 o'clock. Not a single laughter. Just because you didn't laugh, I'm going to go till 1:30. Okay, there, you laugh, so I'll try 12:10. But Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, I just want to talk to us this morning about, obviously, the author of hope, the God of hope, as Paul writes to the believers in Rome. Verse 13, I got a lot of other scripture that we're going to look at. I'll read this morning. But Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." One more time. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Father, we do thank you that you are the author of hope. We thank you, Father, that when our hope is in Jesus Christ, it is in someone who is solid, someone who is dependable, someone who is faithful and steadfast, someone who will always be there for us. And Father, we know, Lord, we do. We don't need to put our hope in sinking sand. We don't need to put our hope in things that are temporal, but Lord, in things that are eternal, things that really do matter, things that will truly help us. And Father, I ask that you would please guide us, Lord, during this time. As always, Father, speak to the children in junior church just like you did in Sunday school, ministering to their hearts through your word, through the Bible lessons, and Lord, helping them to just learn what a friend they have in Jesus. And I pray, Father, you would continue to help us, Lord, to be reminded that we do have a friend in Jesus, but Lord, we also have a God who loves us, a God who is always there for us, a God who wants us to have our hope placed in him. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Somebody once said, "Hope is like sunshine through the clouds on a stormy day," or "like sunshine breaking through the clouds on a stormy day." Hope is like a breath of fresh air after being overcome by smoke. Hope is like hearing good news after a bad day. Hope is a very powerful thing, and hope is what everybody needs. And sometimes people put their hope in the wrong person, in the wrong things, in the wrong places. But this morning we're going to remind ourselves that God is truly the God of hope. As Paul writes, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Jesus Christ is the author of hope. He is the author of hope because you have put your hope in Jesus Christ for salvation, because he paid the sin debt that you and I could not pay. This morning, again, Jesus is our hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Paul even wanted to remind Timothy, as Timothy was a young man that Paul mentored, and he was like Paul was a father figure to Timothy, and Timothy was like a son to Paul, and Paul wanted to instill the truths of God's word and always wanted to encourage Timothy in his relationship with Jesus Christ. Reminds him just in the beginning of this letter he writes to him that Jesus Christ is our hope. And we don't need to put our hope in man. The Bible tells us don't put confidence in princes. Don't put confidence in kings. Man will always fail you. Don't put confidence in what man even makes or invents. Our hope needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, who never fails. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And we understand that. And we understand, you know, I've got my hope in Jesus Christ for salvation, but sometimes we miss the mark when we don't put our hope in Jesus Christ in all areas of our life. Again, God is the God of hope. This morning, the question needs to be answered: what is our hope based on? What is our hope based on? Jesus is the author of our hope, because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We know Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And because he's the only way of salvation, we have hope in salvation. Salvation gives us hope. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. And this morning, you know who the author of hope is. And the author of hope has given us the gift of salvation. And salvation gives us hope. Because salvation, obviously, tells us the truth that when our faith is placed in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary, when we put our faith and trust in him and we call upon him to be our Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, we know that God gives that gift of salvation, because we know that the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. There was a time in your life, my life, I had absolutely no hope of eternal salvation. I had no hope of going to heaven. A lot of people put their hope in their good works. They put their hope in who they are, in their morals. I know a lot of upright moral people that are trusting in themselves. I know of somebody that I'm praying for that they believe that, you know what? If a murderer can get into heaven by asking Christ to save them, then I should be able to get into heaven because I haven't killed anybody and I live a pretty good life. I understand why they have that, thinking. But again, there's not a single person that's good enough to get into heaven without Jesus Christ. There is not a morally upright person that can get into heaven. There's not a religious person that can get into heaven. Nothing will get you and me, anybody, into heaven other than Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being baptized. It's not about having church membership. It's not about having a King James Bible. It's not about knowing how to pray, any of that. But it's knowing Jesus Christ personally and having put your faith and trust in him. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We have our hope in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In Titus 3, 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, God, our hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the gift of salvation that he has given us. And listen, he wants that hope to abound in our hearts and in our minds and in our life. Notice again what he says in Romans 15. Romans 15, if you're not there, look at it. Romans 15, verse 13. It says, now the God of hope, God's the author of hope, all right, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. God wants us to abound in hope. He doesn't want us to falter. He doesn't want us to fail from hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ and hoping in God's help. We even sang the song, Standing on the Promises. You and I have to remain standing on the promises of God's word, remain standing upon the relationship that we have with the Lord. You have an enemy and I have an enemy, the devil, The lion, the serpent, he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour your relationship with God. He wants to devour your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to hope in the Lord. He doesn't want you to have faith that God can help you, and he definitely doesn't want the hope of God to abound in your life. He wants you to falter. He wants you to be isolated. He wants you to be helpless. He wants you to be hopeless. But you and I don't have to be hopeless because God is our hope. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Because you know what? The faith of the saved. Think about the faith of the saved, those that believe. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, you've got to believe that God is your hope. You know, before I even read Romans 5, I'm just reminded of some verses in Psalms that talks about, you know what? I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Why are so many people struggling? Why are so many Christians struggling in their life? Why are so many people unhappy? And I believe with all of my heart, it's because we are neglecting our relationship with God. Our hope is not on the one that it should be on. We're hoping that somebody will make me happy. We're hoping that somebody will fulfill my life, that somebody will just, you know, make me feel special. Everybody wants to feel special. Everybody wants to feel loved. Everybody wants to feel accepted. Everybody wants to feel cared for. And at best, sometimes you'll be failed. God has to be your hope. God has to be your hope. A lot of people, again, putting hope in the wrong places and the wrong people. And God's the only one that can fulfill you completely. God's the only one that can heal a broken heart. God is the only one that can restore the joy of thy salvation. We talked about David in Sunday school, and he got to a place in his life where he was miserable. He was miserable. Though he's known as a man after God's own heart, he had a wonderful relationship with God, but something happened in his life. He was at a point of misery. He was at a point of loneliness. He was full of anger and bitterness. And it wasn't until he got right with God. And in Psalm 51, he talks about, Lord, restore the joy of thy salvation. How much joy do you have this morning? And you might think, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the heaviness that I am burdened down with. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and I will give you rest unto your soul. Again, the Lord knows the struggles that we have in life, and he's the one that wants to help. But our hope has to be placed in him. Again, if my hope is not in the Lord, I'm not going to go to the Lord with my problems. I'm not going to go to the Lord for help. I'm not going to think God can help. Again, don't believe that lie. Well, I know God can, I just don't know if he will. Stop letting that play in your mind and start believing the word of God. And God says, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. A lot of things we're missing out on things because we're not calling unto God with a heart of belief and a heart of hope. Placing our hope in the Lord. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm not worried about my salvation. I'm not worried about whether I'm going to heaven or not. That is like far out of my mind because I know it's settled. It was settled on the day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about that. But you know what? When people get away from God, they start questioning their salvation. When people walk away from God and they're not trusting God, they're not walking with God, they're not believing his words anymore, they start to question their salvation. I've heard it time and time again from different people, even in my own life in the early years I questioned my own salvation because I wasn't walking with God. But when you're walking with God, man, you know you're saved because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with your spirit that you are saved, and there's no questions about it. Because it's not about a feeling, you know, it's about my faith in what Jesus Christ did. I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven, and no one can convince me otherwise. Even if I said a curse word before crashing my vehicle and dying, I know I would be in heaven. Now, the first thing God says to me may be like, why did that come out of your mouth? Because what's in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But listen, if you this morning are settled without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved on your way to heaven and no one can convince you otherwise, then why do we struggle so much in putting our hope in God for everything else? And maybe this morning you're not, and I hope you're not struggling with that. But there might be somebody who is struggling with putting their hope in someone they cannot physically see. Again, we walk by faith, not by sight. I know that God is in control. I know that God has the answers. And I know that, you know what, if I will just put my faith, my hope in the one who holds me in the palm of his hand, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. He wants us to have that type of faith, that hope that abounds. It just continues to abound. Even when I'm faced with obstacles, I just know the Lord is going to help me. My hope is in the one that never fails, the one that will always be there for me because he is my God and I have put my hope in him. I want you to look at John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. The way to abound in our hope is to fellowship with the one who gives us hope. Hope abounds when we are in sweet fellowship with the Lord, and we must walk in the light as he is in the light to have fellowship with him. John 15, 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus tells us, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know what? That gives me great confidence that as I'm walking in sweet fellowship with the Lord, trusting him, my hope is in the Lord. I know everything will be fine. Yes, I'm still faced with storms. I'm still faced with some struggles in life. I'm still faced with oppositions and resistance and everything that life has. Yet, because I'm walking in such sweet fellowship with my Savior, I know everything's fine. You know, two disciples were walking on the road headed to Emmaus, and they were pretty sad, and they were having a discussion, and the stranger comes up alongside them and says, hey, what are you guys talking about? You know, why the sad faces? And these guys, they talk to the stranger and say, well, haven't you heard? I mean, are you a stranger just in Jerusalem? I mean, haven't you heard about Jesus Christ? He's been crucified. I mean, we thought that he was the promised Messiah. We thought he'd be the one to set everything straight, and he would set up his kingdom. But they've crucified him. And this stranger, I'm so glad this stranger knew enough scripture to teach them the truth. And beginning with Moses, all the way through the prophets, the Bible tells us this stranger taught them that it had to be that Jesus Christ died. That was God's plan from the beginning. And as they get to a house, the stranger is going to continue on, and these men, they bid them, hey, come in with us, you know, have a meal with us. And they go in and they sit down, and the stranger breaks bread with them. He breaks the bread, he prays, and as soon as he does, their eyes are opened. And it was no longer a stranger, it was Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that when Jesus Christ disappears from them, they look at each other and they say, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke the scriptures? That's the type of relationship God wants with you, is that when you're talking with the Lord and he's talking to you, man, your heart is drawn to him. Your heart is filled with hope because of Jesus Christ. I love the fact those two men, they didn't even eat their meal. They left and ran back to Jerusalem, letting everybody know that, hey, Jesus, they just saw Jesus. You know what? You and I need to have that experience more often in our weekly lives, that we've spent time with Christ and it has changed us from the inside out. Because that's what we need. Look, this world is doomed. If you haven't already figured that out, the world is doomed. People are trying to save the world, trying to save the owl, trying to save the whale, trying to save every animal, but kill all the humans. This world is doomed. Because the Bible says this world is going to burn up. The current earth is going to burn up. Because God is going to give a new heaven and a new earth for his people to dwell on. That's why I say don't put so much hope into this world and what the world can supposedly do for you. Our hope needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid it all. There's a place prepared for you in heaven and anybody who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But he wants his hope to abound in your life. He wants his hope to abound in your life. Now, I want you to look with me at, look back at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Because you know the author of hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants his hope to abound in our lives and in our hearts. And the way that we can accomplish that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God has given each believer his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does seal a believer until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals you. You cannot lose your salvation, but as Jesus talked about, the Holy Spirit was given to be our comforter, to be our guide, to be our teacher, but also to remind us of where our hope needs to be through the power of the Holy Ghost. And in Galatians 5:22, all right, look at Galatians 5:22, because as it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I mean, the Holy Spirit helps that hope to be produced in our hearts. He helps that hope to get stronger and stronger and for us to abound in that hope. The Holy Spirit is not to be neglected, not to be ignored, not to be quenched, as the Bible says, but we are to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do his ministry in our life. Paul wanted the Christians in Rome to be filled with that overflowing peace and joy that the Holy Spirit produces. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The Lord wants all of us to be filled with that joy and peace that comes through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, 16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. One thing about the Holy Spirit we need to remind ourselves, the Holy Spirit does not barge into our life. He does not make us do anything. We have to yield ourselves to him, and we have to believe that he is there to help us, and we have to allow him to minister to us the way that he is supposed to, producing his fruit in our lives, helping us to be filled with that peace and joy. Who doesn't want to be filled with peace? You know, there's not a single person who wants to live their life miserably. The Bible gives us an example. I love the fact that the Bible always uses extreme examples I don't know, have you ever met somebody living in the graveyard, wearing no clothes, cutting himself, screaming at night, howling at the moon, trying to be tamed, trying to be controlled by the townspeople, being chained up, but he has such power, such strength, he breaks the chains. Now, I've met some weird people. You've met some weird people, strange people. But can you imagine someone being that out of control? And people are just finding, you know what? They give up. They can't do anything with that person. You know what? Let them live in the graveyard. Let them cut themselves. At least they're not running through our town. At least they're not bothering us. We tried our best to help. It didn't help. But you know the account in Scripture. Jesus purposely came across the Sea of Galilee with his disciples to Gennesaret. And when he stepped out of the boat onto the shore, the man that was possessed with demons, the one that was cutting himself, the one that was out of his mind, no peace, no joy, the Bible says that he came to Jesus and fell down at Jesus' feet. Now, obviously, the Bible talks about the demons speaking. And listen, when somebody is out of their mind, they're possessed. Demons are not just in Scripture. Demons are still real today just as much as the devil is still alive. And the only hope somebody has is Jesus Christ. No medication, no psychology. Nothing can help a person other than Jesus Christ. Medication does nothing but suppress what's going on the inside. The Bible records that that man possessed with demons, when he met Jesus, his life was changed. Jesus dealt with the demons. He cast the demons out of the man. And when the townspeople came, because they heard what was going on, they saw the man who used to run around naked, fully clothed, out of his mind. The Bible says he was in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That is what Jesus does to any life. He brings stability, control, joy, peace, forgiveness. He changes a life completely. But the devil is always right there to try to convince somebody it'll never happen for you. Where is our hope this morning? We're in a new year. We have to leave 2021 behind. Jesus Christ is the only hope our country has, the only hope that your family has, the only hope that your friends have, the only hope that you have. Is Jesus Christ. Never forget that. If you're saved this morning, you put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ. Why not continue to put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ for all areas of our life? You know, I would encourage everyone to start showing up for Sunday school, because we're going through a series on prayer. How to pray. Why should we pray? How to have a powerful prayer life? And what does it consist of? Do we want things different in our life? Do we want this year to be different, better? I do. I definitely don't want a repeat of 2021. I want this year to be different, and the only way it's going to be different is if I keep my hope in the right place and in the right person. And allow the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of each of us to guide us through this year, helping us to keep our right hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We understand someone who's intoxicated is controlled by that alcohol. And God says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let your life be fully if I can use the word intoxicated, by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit of God have full control of your life, your thinking, your heart, your reactions in life. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, when you think about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not some mystical thing. It's not a spooky thing. It's not losing control. But it's having a more in-depth relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is allowing God to have full control of your life and you and me being the living sacrifice that Romans 12 talks about. Letting God have his way with us because he predestinated us to be conformed into the image of Christ. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to continue allowing ourselves to hide the Word of God in our hearts. What is it that you're trusting in this morning? Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. What is it that we are trusting in this morning? What is it that we put more stock into? The words of man or the words of God? The words of God will never fail. The words of man are just that, his opinions. But God is the God of heaven and earth. God is the one that has given us life and given it abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that knows everything about us, inside and out. He knows our thoughts that nobody else knows. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what our future holds. He knows what's in our past. He knows everything about us, and yet he still loves us and still wants to walk with us and still wants to help us, and he wants to be number one in our life. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And you know, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It is the Word of God that helps us to have that hope. Because you know what? When I read through the Scriptures and I read the lives of men and women that had the same struggles, they face same oppositions that we do. And same, I mean, it may not necessarily be exactly identical, but facing just oppositions, resistance, temptations, hardships, trials, good times, bad times, mountaintop experiences, walking through the valley. And time and time again, I see where God helps them. And God comes through. And it encourages me that if God can do it for that person, I know he can do it for me. So it's important to read your Bible every day because it helps us. It helps us to have the right mindset. It helps us to keep the right focus. It helps us to put our hope in something that is unwavering because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes, and if God never changes, his promises never change, his faithfulness never changes, his steadfast never changes, his reliance never changes. He's always there, and we can put our entire hope upon the Lord, but let me encourage us. Let's read the Word of God and let's take God at his word. I can't always take people at their word. I've had so many people lie to me. Christians and non-Christians lie to me. Bald-faced lie directly in my face. I know it's a lie. And you just have to kind of smile and take it. And just, okay. But God never lies. When has God ever steered you wrong? When has God ever lied to you? When has God never came through? Folks, the only way we're going to make it through 2022, the only way that we're going to last until the Lord returns is by putting our hope completely in Jesus Christ. Your life is not going to get any better until you do, and neither is mine. Jesus Christ makes everything perfect. He makes everything right. You know, I love when I know something is going to happen. You ever been anticipating something? whether it was a job promotion, a job raise, maybe someone coming to your house, you going to visit somebody, you knew the time was coming close, and you know, whatever it is, there's been times in your life where you were anticipating something good. You knew it was about to happen. We love surprises, good surprises, but knowing something's going to happen, but knowing that without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to happen, and you're anticipating it, and you can't help, and the closer the moment gets, the more excited you get, the more prepared you get, you're ready for it. You know what? That's the way it is and should be, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. We know that whatever we're facing in this life isn't going to last forever. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's something inside of you that tells you to look up. Look to something that's better than the trouble that you're faced with. Look up, because your Redeemer draweth nigh. Look up, because your Encourager wants to encourage you. Again, when you go through scriptures, you come across Stephen, who was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. A man who was called upon to serve widows, to minister to people. A man who was caught by those that were against Jesus Christ and against the teachings of Christ. And he was brought before the accusers, and they didn't like anything he had to say. They stoned him to death. But the Bible records that as they're stoning him, he looks up. He looks up and he testifies, as it's recorded, that Stephen looked up, saw heaven open. He said, the heavens are open. I see the Son of God standing. You know what encourages us and gives us encouragement to continue on and to know that everything's going to be okay? We get our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith. That no matter what difficulty we're faced with, we can look up and know that he's ready to help. He's ready to deliver. He's ready to give us the grace that we need. And it gives us that encouragement. Stephen was able, because of who he saw. Yeah, he saw the enemy. He saw those that were stoning him. He saw Paul standing there giving his consent to his death. But he decided to look past all of what he could not change and look to the one who changed his life. Look to the one that he knew that he would be in his presence very soon. And I believe with all my heart, Stephen died with joy in his heart, because Jesus Christ had encouraged him by standing and giving him something to hope in. Titus chapter 2 verse 1 reminds us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared for the coming of our Lord and Savior. I want you to look at last place, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. We know that Jesus has promised that he's coming again. We don't know when. But you know what? That is what gives us hope, that we know he's coming. And when he does, everything will be changed forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That last sentence, every man, every person, that hath this hope in him, the hope of your Lord and Savior coming back for you, the hope of you seeing your Lord and Savior face to face, the hope of being in the presence of your Lord and Savior for eternity. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know what that means? Change the wrong thinking. Don't keep thinking the same way. As somebody that I've counseled before, not in here, that I've had to tell them, you have to break the old habit because they have this old habit of wrong thinking. Because, you know, when you do something long enough, it becomes a habit. And habits are hard to break unless you put your hope in the one who died for your sins. He can help break that habit. For some, it's hard to break the habit of saying, I know God can, I just don't know if he will. Because we tend to equate God with somebody on this earth who has failed us time and time again. Remember, God's not a man that he should lie. Jesus even told the woman at the well that God desires those to worship him in spirit and truth because he is a spirit. God is not a person that you've ever had contact with that's done you wrong or failed you. God is someone who faithfully went to the cross of Calvary for you, who laid down his life for your sins, not his, for your sins, willingly died for your sins because of how much he loves you. And what he wants from us is for us to put our faith and our hope completely in him. What is your hope in today? What are you hoping for? Let Jesus Christ be your hope. Let Jesus Christ be the one that you follow and trust every day. But we have no idea what this year has for us, but one thing I know about this year, if God be for us, who can be against us? God's on your side. God says of himself, I have thoughts of peace towards you. As a child of God, you're on the right side. You're on the right side of God. And God has more love for you than you and I can even imagine.